B-Pod Studios.
Our next guest, and this is a highlight, folks. She, of course, is the host of the podcast You Open Nikki Glaser, which you can hear every day on SiriusXM. And, you know, she is like hot fire right now. It's a shame what has happened here because everybody's got to cancel their gigs. But she's currently doing a show from her father's office at their house in St. Louis. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Nikki Glaser joins us. Nikki!
Hello. Yes, you've got that right. I am a rising star that is living at home in my parents' in my childhood home at the age of 36. When things career-wise couldn't have been better, everything went to a grinding halt. And I'm living the same life I lived when I was 25 and had no money and was kind of an alcoholic living at home. So I'm right back there, except I don't drink anymore, so I have nothing to cope with it.
Well, but you are pulling it off here, and that's the beauty of this whole thing with you.
Now, I'm pulling it off?
Yes, you're pulling it off because your show hasn't missed a beat. I've been listening every day to the show, man. And so, like, you can pull that off from your parents' house.
Yes, it really took a little bit to get into, to, like, find my bearings, what radio sounds like from my childhood home, but... You know, Zoom has been very helpful. Like, I couldn't miss a beat. I'm such a workaholic that the idea of not working is just too much to bear. And so I snapped right into gear and I didn't take any time off. I'm generating new jobs for myself constantly. I'm doing these kind of calls. I'm just staying really busy, because I'm addicted to work, essentially.
Well, you know, this is a sports talk show, right? So this might be unusual for you, but we've had to morph for obvious reasons into this all-purpose radio, which is where you come in, because this is Comedy Week, and I'm a big fan of comedians, and especially this new age of all these comedians popping out of the woodwork. So are you into sports at all?
No, not at all. Like, this is great for me because I don't have anything to say about any of it. And I'm really sorry for you guys, though. Like, I'm scared. I'm sorry for all my best friends who love sports. Like, this is a tough time. Like, this is a time when you could really sink your teeth into that and, like, really enjoy it. And what are you having to talk about your emotions now?
Like, we talk about our emotions. We talk about relationships. We talk about semi-politics. We modern culture. Yeah. We're doing the same thing. Like, that house party, that Taylor Swift thing. Like, we're trying to do crazy stuff like that right now to keep everybody interested.
But I just mean, like, men in general. I don't mean to, you know, generalize, but you kind of have to sometimes. Like, I feel like men really love sports and, like, love talking about sports because it's fun and it's surface, but you don't really get to know each other when you're doing like a fantasy draft. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm wondering if male connections are becoming different because you guys are having to like maybe talk about other things than like stats and
it probably is. But the way we're doing it, I think like we kind of do like guy talk, right? So I think people are still engaged. But you bring up an interesting point because one of the great outlets for men is to watch a sporting event, and now they're cloistered with their significant other, and that's totally different than anything they're used to, because at no point have been in the same house for 24 hours with their wife, probably.
I know. I think it's looking really good for me. I really want to find a partner pretty soon, because I don't want to go through the next pandemic alone, and I keep thinking that, like, there's going to be so many single men. It's going to be good for single women. This is my theory, is because, like, if there are any single women listening, or single men, honestly, women and men who are usually afraid of commitment, I think those ones are going to get out of quarantine alone and they're going to be like, you know what? I need to find a partner. I mean, I guess I'm just projecting because that's what I'm realizing.
Yeah.
And then also, all of the good ones that are already quote unquote taken, a lot of those are going to be back on the market because they're like, I saw a guy the other night that I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. And I was like, oh, he's newly married. And I'm like, oh, well, listen. I should probably still, like, keep, like, you know, dibs on him. Like, not that, like, but I'll still, like, pay attention to what he's doing because he could be divorced by August based on, like, things are you know, relationships are expediting. I'm just not ruling out anything.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that partner thing a little later in this interview. But first of all, I'm going to call BS on you and the like the dating problems, because there's no way. I'm looking at you. You're a beautiful woman. You're smart. You're funny. And you talk about all these dating problems. I'm not buying it. Talk me over this bridge.
I'm not saying that I don't have people who want to date me. I'm saying that the guys that I want to date, I think I aim too high, perhaps.
You do. But what's your aim?
My aim is like someone who's pretty fantastic. I want someone who's pretty successful, at least as successful as I am in their trade. They don't have to be as financially successful, but like they need to be like successful within their career. I don't want to like support anyone have someone who doesn't really know what they're doing in their life. Like, I need someone passionate. But at the same time, I really need a funny guy, and that's a tall order for me. And that doesn't mean that they have to be a comedian, but like they gotta be funny. And not as funny as me necessarily, but I definitely have expectations in that respect. And I also need them more than anything, and this is what I really want men to hear, is that I need them to be like emotionally intelligent. And I feel like so many men aren't. And I can't stand getting to know a guy and have him not understand that the way he's acting is guys that are in love with their mom still. Like, there are a lot of guys that are just not emotionally there because they've been like drinking their way through their feelings, or they've been watching sports through their way through their feelings. So they when they get mad, they don't know where it's coming from. I need guys that like go to therapy and stuff. So I think I just need a woman.
Natalie, are you hearing this? We have Natalie on our show also. She's working remotely. Natalie, yeah.
Natalie, you're hearing this, right?
Nikki and I, we're like in the same boat.
Yeah.
We're like kindred spirits,
right?
Pretty much.
So you get this. Like, Natalie, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 36, and I surround myself with people at this age where it's like all my girlfriends are so intellectually stimulating and interesting, and they look at their feelings, and they talk about interesting things. And then I have I go to the Comedy Cellar every night, usually when I'm not in quarantine. And I sit down on a table with my girlfriends. I like kind of curate my own version of The View every night.
Yep.
And I have interesting women all come together. They all become friends. We have great conversations. And then one of those girlfriends will start dating a guy, and we're all so excited. Then she brings him by, and he is like, he can't contribute. He's just not, it's not that he's like, can't hang with girl talk, but it's just, it's not the same. And I always ask my friends, I go, why do we always go for men that if they were women, we would never tolerate them in our friend groups? Like, I feel like guys, we have such a low bar for to be cool. And I think guys do this for women too. Like, if your girlfriend was suddenly a dude, would you want to be around her?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Ask yourself that. And if your boyfriend was a girl, would you want that girl to come to brunch? Or would you say like, oh, that girl kind of sucks. Like, it'd be better if it was just us. Like, you want someone that can fit in.
Exactly.
Natalie, I'm disappointed in you because she was describing me.
Is that what you wanted me to bring in? I'm sorry.
How perfect. Like, this.
Well, I mean, it is kind of funny. Mike's my coworker, but he is, you pretty much just laid out who he is at his core.
And look at the statistics.
Who is that? What are you saying? Who are you?
Well,
He is an emotionally available intellectual.
I'm everything you described. So, like, later, I want to do, like, a YouTube series, My Dates with Nikki Glaser, if we can pull that off later. But okay. I need to ask you a little more about your life here, because where did you think this blew up? I'm watching Bill Maher the other night. You pop on Bill Maher. You're going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You've done these roasts, right? You had the Sirius show. Where was the moment that really was the firecracker moment for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because it does just feel like a snowball effect, really. And when you really just suddenly something happens, and then Hollywood just lets you into their cool club. Like, me getting asked to do Bill Maher, a year ago, I maybe could have seen that on the horizon, but I would have been like, I'm never going to be cool enough to be on that show, or smart enough, or like looked at as someone who wants to be talked to next to Al Gore. Like, what the hell? What the hell is that? But what happens is like, you get on one thing and then other people see it, and then you just, fame is interesting. And I'll tell you that when it really popped was last October, my Netflix special came out the same week that right after the roast of Alec Baldwin came out. So it was like, boom, boom, roast of Alec Baldwin, my Netflix special. And although I've been around forever and it was just as talented as I was maybe 2 years ago, maybe not three, but definitely like nothing changes. It's just these moments that people see you, one person just people started retweeting my Alec Baldwin roast, and that was the difference between I was taking the train to work and I sensed that people knew who I was. I could sense the eyes were on me. People would like smile at me and I'd be like, do I know them? That was the week it shifted. But I will say this, that as soon as I was like, oh my God, I'm going to start have to wearing sunglasses like on the way to work to like have some privacy. I swear to God, a week later, people forgot about me again. Like I was hot. I was really famous for a week. And that's the thing. It's like, that's the problem with fame is that you just want to keep that ball in the air and you really can't. Like, you can't sustain people's attention for that long, but I'm trying. That's why I do so many things.
Well, there's like a mother load of comedians that are popping out now. And is that making it more difficult for you? And are you, I want to know, is it cutthroat, this industry? Because you seem to hang out with a lot of comedians that you're friends with. But like everybody's grabbing the same piece of pie here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So how do you handle
it? That way. We're definitely not grabbing the same piece of pie because, I mean, that's always been the way the entertainment business was, or any business really, is you think there's only so much money to be had and you want your mitts on it. But the thing is, it'll never not feel that way. So it is competitive. However, I find it to be extremely supportive, and comics really relate to each other in a way like it's a different language. And it's just, if you meet a comic, you're just like kindred spirits in this way that I don't know other like accountants relate to each other. I will say that since I've branched into the radio like business, or, you know, broadcasting, it's I can see a similarity between people in radio. Like I'm like, oh, they're all like a certain type of people that I also am. So there's that familiarity that is so supportive. But yeah, I mean, like, do we get jealous of each other? I can only speak for myself, but 100%. And I get jealous of people who are beneath me, or, you know, in terms of what they've achieved. Like, I get jealous of new comics all the time. I'm like, how did he get that? And I'm like, if they offer that to you, Nikki, you wouldn't take it. And I'm like, yeah, but I still want to be asked. Like, it never ends.
Well, and now there's these 20-somethings coming out. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like somebody, like this Taylor Thomas is 26, and somebody else is like 20 or 23. And it's nonstop.
Yes. I don't feel it as much from younger comics because I don't know. We're all like on the same trajectory of, if you do it long enough, you're going to be great. So I'm excited to hear like new voices. I don't really feel as threatened by like other stand-ups, just because I don't know. It's hard, but I of course, as an aging woman, I feel threatened by youthful women, because that is a commodity that I can never get back. Being funny, I'm not threatened by other people. I've worked hard enough to be like elite at this.
And you're definitely elite. But what I'm saying is that the road you took was a road that's was a little rockier than maybe these new ones that are coming out, because
Bitch is a good comic and deserves a special. So I don't think anyone's getting things.
Nikki, one thing. This is like terrestrial radio.
Oh, so. Shoot. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
I should be in a loving in a loving term. Careful from now on.
I gotcha. All right. The craziest thing I've ever seen you do, and it was hysterical to me, but it's also like you push the edge and you're a little risque and you're a little raunch going. And the craziest thing I've ever seen you do was a Comedy Central TV show where you solicited guys from Craigslist and dressed up their junk in miniature houses.
Yeah.
And a band me hoagie.
Yeah, it was, I think we did a banh mi. Yeah, like we did a Vietnamese sub sandwich. We dressed a man's member like that.
Yes.
This was the wildest thing we'd done on the show, and I honestly can't even believe I did it. I look back and I'm like, what were you thinking? That is so disgusting. But it was a different time. Like, now I could probably sue Comedy Central for ever having me in a situation where I had to touch genitalia.
And you got gloves on.
Let me tell you what happened with that. The hilarious thing about that bit, and for those of you who haven't seen it, you should Google it. It was called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. And you can just see, and just type in diorama, because we told guys that, you know, their guys are sending pictures of their junk to girls. And, you know, we don't like it, but if you could, like, make it as good as possible, like, let's try to improve these guys' junk pictures. So we made these dioramas and made different scenarios for their junks to be, like, we dressed them up. Like, one, I think it was, like, a man with, a Parisian landscape with, like, the Eiffel Tower is in the shot, and he has a baguette. We tried to make his, you know...
It was hysterical.
But that was really hard to do. And so we just dressed up these guys. So anyway, the night before we shoot the sketch, all the art department who've made these intricate dioramas for these men to, like, stick themselves through these, like, holes, they're like, okay, so the guys aren't going to be able to, like, do it themselves because these dioramas are so big they can't reach their arms around to, like, pull themselves through. So who's going to pull them through? And I was like, we kind of looked around and we're like, oh my God, we have no one to do it. And I was like, well, I'm the host of the show. I'm the only one on camera. I guess I'll do it. And so I volunteered. And then when I was doing it, although I was wearing gloves, I mean, it was so disgusting having to touch these men flaccid. And so I even said during the sketch, the funniest part to me is that I go, I'm putting, like, little tiny cucumbers on one of them because it's a spa scene where they have their, like, they're just, like, in a bath. And so I'm putting cucumbers on this little, penis. And I'm like, literally freaking out. And I just keep going, I'm a doctor, I'm a doctor, I'm a doctor, I'm a doctor. Like, I had to pretend I was a doctor because I'm like, there are female doctors who have to touch penises. I can be one of them, too.
That is
mine was for a comedy show.
Yeah, it's totally insane. And so my next question is, like, you're doing the show at home now. You push the envelope all the time. Do you feel awkward with your parents there, your mom there? Like, it's one thing to do your kind of comedy. It's another thing if your parents in the audience, if you feel differently doing your style in front of them. Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, it's very awkward to do it in front of them. I didn't used to care, and I think I just had to not care in the past to get to where I was, because the things I wanted to say on stage, like, I just think it was a defense mechanism that I just built up this immunity to, like, if my parents are awkward, like, I don't care. Like, talking, and they're not open about talking about sex either. People think I come from, like, a nudist household, but my parents are very, you know, buttoned up when it comes to sex. We don't talk about sex. So I think that in a way, it's me kind of retaliating, being like, well, if you don't want to talk about it, that's all I'm going to talk about. But I've just, since becoming, like, 36 and being of an age where I could see myself having kids and kind of putting myself in their shoes, I realized how deeply horrifying it must be for them. Mm. So I now try to, like, shroud them from those bits. Like, if I know that I talked about something on a podcast, I'll be like, can you not listen to that? Like, I just want you to know, like, it's not going to serve you to hear me talking about my sex life. But if they accidentally hear something, I don't really care. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is the reason that I have enough money to loan you guys, is because I've talked so candidly. So you should be thankful.
We're talking Nikki Glaser. Nikki, last thing. Natalie, is this girl my type or what?
Oh, Mike.
Is she, like, is this girl so my type? It's not even funny.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, here's the thing. We would have, like, tremendous comedy. You ever get to Philly?
Are you there?
Do you get to Philadelphia at all? Do you have any familiarity with Philadelphia?
Oh, I thought you said, do you get the feeling?
No,
I get the feeling of what? Do I ever get to Philly?
Yes. Do you have any familiarity with Philadelphia?
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite cities. It's one of the cities that I've always said, like, I'd like to live there if I could live anywhere.
That's right. You used to date a guy from here, right?
Did I?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Joe DeRosa is from this area, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, Joey D. I did date Joe DeRosa. I love Joe DeRosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Philly
Day
Joe, I'm all about Philly.
All right, so you're probably never going to get here. But if you get here, I'm taking you to dinner because we'll have great conversation.
You promise that?
Yes. Now, I'm a little
old. I'm coming.
Natalie can come.
What's great
listen,
conversation? What
I'm coming.
I'm a little older, but I'm way immature below my years. So it would be fantastic.
Okay. And I'm coming because I'm fun and we'd be friends.
Right. And Natalie can come.
What? Okay, but I'm generally people that say they're going to be good at conversation are not.
I do like, for 4 hours a day.
I believe
that's what I do.
You because you're in radio. That does appeal to me. I've dated a lot of people in radio. This isn't a terrible matchmaking. Like I swear you probably have a shot, but I've got to weigh a lot of others.
All right, weigh whatever you want.
Yeah, I gotta check you out on Instagram.
I'm not on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter.
Oh, you're on Twitter, but you're not on Instagram.
Not on Instagram. I gotta get on Instagram because I don't like taking photos of stuff.
Okay, all right.
You know, I'm just myself. You know.
Okay, I get that. That's all right. Respectable.
All right, but there's a lot.
But I mean,
I got a lot of things going for me. I'm normal.
I'll look at your tweets. Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally normal.
All right. I'll trust you.
Well, maybe I'm not normal. I'm probably not normal, right, Nat?
I don't really like normal.
I can't stop.
Yeah, I'm probably not normal.
I'm dying. Yeah.
Natalie, what's the biggest? If you were setting your friend up what would be the warning that you'd give?
Where did I give you the cosmic banana?
Oh my God!
No, that's a soundbite.
The warning. No, you know what? I have to be honest. Mike is a great guy. He's very smart. He's very
That's not
thoughtful. No. Yes, he is.
Nat finds me fascinating.
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Advice.
I would, if right. I had a friend that Mike were interested in, I would set Mike up with my friend.
There you go.
I would be confident in that.
That's always the test. If you would set your friend, if you want your friends to date them, that's the test.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. All right. Well, if I ever make it to Philly, I'll let you take me out. And don't hold me to that. But
I don't hold you to that. Of course not.
But I'm open to anything.
The chances of this happening are like one in a million. But I had to take a shot. You've been tremendous. I love talking to you. It was fun. And what's next? Like when this thing goes over, like where do you go? Is this like the TV transition?
Honestly, I don't know. I have TV things in development, but you know, when are those going to happen? Who knows? Everything is like changing for me pretty soon, but I don't know what it's going to look like, just like we all won't. So you can just stay in touch with me on Instagram, and that's my main thing, I guess, that I'd want people to follow me on, Nikki Glaser, Glaser. You can check out my Netflix special, Bangin', on, and you could also check out an even newer Netflix special I have. Bangin' is my hour, and then The Degenerates is my half hour. And then, YouTube me, the SiriusXM show, You Up. I do daily podcasts called You Up, the same name, and that's about it.
The show's hysterical. Continue
Thank
success
you
with it.
Saying that. I appreciate it. This is so fun.
All right, Nikki, we'll talk to you.
Thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
There she is, Nikki Glaser. How about that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.